Why should you support good Bible teachers? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for tuning in today, but also for the duration of this series. For those of you that have been with us, you know that we've been going through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and we've come to the end of that series today. Today, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to do another whirlwind tour of the 3rd epistle of the Apostle John. I think you'll be surprised in what you learn both in this episode, but also in this short letter. So let's jump right into the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. Again, my name is Sean.
Again, my name is Bob.
And again, we are finishing off our series on the epistles of John. This might be our last episode. I don't know if this is going to turn into two, but we're going to try to finish it off
good. In
just one more episode. So we're in 3rd John.
Gamma John.
Gamma John, and gamma means G's for good guys.
Yes, support the good teachers.
That's just a memory device. That's not actually why it's called Gamma John. So if you'll remember, 2nd John is all about why you should not financially support false teachers.
Right.
And John was coming to the church and he was expecting a good welcome, and he warned them, don't welcome the bad teachers, because if you do, you're going to be sharing in their evil deeds. Whereas if they continued in the truth, that means John would be rewarded. That's rewardability for him.
Right.
Well, now we're in 3rd John, and here's what he says. The elder, of course, that's John himself, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. So there's three guys in this epistle.
Three key players. He's writing to one person named Gaius, but he's writing about two others.
Right. Diotrephes and Demetrius.
Right. And Diotrephes is the bad guy.
He's the bad guy.
And Demetrius is the good guy.
All right. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. So Gaius is a mature believer.
Yes.
He's spiritually mature. He has put the principles of 1 John into practice. He's not carnal. He's walking in the light. He's in fellowship with God.
And evidently, notice he says, brethren came and testified of this truth. Evidently, those brethren had come to his town and he had given them hospitality.
Right.
That's the implication. We're not told that, but it seems to be implied.
And that also tells us that Gaius is part of his spiritual maturity. He's in fellowship with other spiritual believers.
Yes.
Who are in turn in fellowship with the apostolic circle. If you want to be in fellowship with God, you also have to be in fellowship with a local church that is walking in the light.
Right.
Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Isn't that a good point? And I mean, you have three kids.
Yeah.
It doesn't bring you joy when your children pray. Your children are all six, four, and two. But the thing is, as they age, you're already anticipating them walking in truth.
Oh, absolutely. I'm trying to raise them to love Jesus and love each other. And it's so great to hear them pray. Like when I first started teaching them how to pray, it was all about they'd pray for toys and thank you for monster trucks and things like that. Now they pray on their own, out of their own thoughts. They pray for people who they know don't believe in Jesus or who are sick in obvious and sometimes more subtle ways. And it does bring me a lot of joy.
Yes.
Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers.
Okay, now there we're getting into the support the good guys.
Right, so this is kind of the opposite of 2nd John.
Right.
Who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Basically, if they come to your house for help, you send them with a bag full of food, maybe with money for the journey. You send them out so they can continue their work.
Yes, and notice, in a manner worthy of God, that's pretty amazing stuff.
Right.
I mean, if you've got a traveling teacher, then you should act like this is God's representative here.
Right.
And so you're going to be treating them in a special way, just like Elijah was put up in a special prophet's room and they treated him with dignity and et cetera. I've experienced this when I've gone and spoken at various churches, and people have treated me with such kindness that it really is a help.
Right, absolutely. So why do I get the pull-out couch at your house?
Well, that's a different thing. What pull-out couch?
I don't know. Okay.
I don't know.
Where are we here?
We lost the whole thing.
because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles.
Yes. Now, when he says nothing from the Gentiles, he's referring to unbelievers. So they're only taking support from born-again people.
Right. And that's to have a certain type of testimony in front of the Gentiles. Because, you know, a lot of people, even today, and I'm sure it was the same was true in the ancient world, a lot of people think religious people are in it for money. They'll tell you a story, they'll give you a song and dance because they want you to give them money. Apparently John, and I know this was true of Paul, who
right.
made a big point of he supported himself through tent making so that no one would think he was trying to take advantage of anyone.
Right.
It seems like that's what these guys were doing too. They wanted only to have Christian support so they wouldn't take anything from the Gentiles that would affect their testimony. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth.
Notice how this is the polar opposite of 2 John.
Right.
Don't receive them because you'll be a fellow worker of their evil.
That's verse 11 in 2 John. But here, if you support Bible teachers, then you become a worker in their work, in the good work.
Right. You get a cut. In a sense, if you are financially supporting your local church and your local church is accurately proclaiming the word of God, then you're getting a share in the ministry of the local church. If above and beyond that, which is what this is talking about, when traveling teachers come in, you're putting them up in your home, you're feeding them out of your pocket, you're paying for their utilities, you're maybe even giving them some money for the road. All of that is you sharing in their labor. You're a fellow worker in their labor. Paul said in Philippians 4:17 that it's not so much that he was looking for the gifts that the Philippians would give him, but for the fruit that would accrue to their account. He talked about their account like we all have an eternal IRA.
Right. Interesting. That is interesting. So we're not all sent to teach necessarily. We're not all sent to be missionaries. But that doesn't mean we can't participate in that work.
Absolutely.
In God's eyes, if you support missionaries, then you are part of their labor.
That's correct.
I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. So John is urging, he's praising Gaius for receiving the true teachers.
The emissaries from John.
The emissaries,
yeah.
But now he's condemning Diotrephes for refusing to host.
Now, evidently, Diotrephes was one of the elders in the local church Gaius was in. Now, maybe Gaius was also an elder, or maybe Gaius wasn't. But the point is, Diotrephes evidently, when it says he loves to have preeminence among them, the them probably refers to the elders. The early church had multiple elders in each church. But evidently, he's an example of someone that's moving toward one elder. Even though there probably are multiple here, he is forcing his will on the group.
Right.
So therefore, he's saying, don't accept these teachers coming from John, which is just exactly wrong.
Right. He should have been saying, you can't say that about false teachers.
Right.
But you got to be discerning. You have to support the truth. And apparently, this guy wasn't. Verse 10, therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Man, so this guy, again, he's just so against supporting teachers. If you support the teachers, he considers you in league with them and he kicks you out.
Which is pretty bizarre. John is warning Gaius, don't be deceived, don't be confused. Continue to support the traveling teachers in spite of Diotrephes.
Even Diotrephes understands that if you support something, then you're part of that work.
Right.
Interesting. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God.
So you're not going to imitate Diotrephes. He's the one that's doing evil.
Right.
He who does good is of God. That's the guy Demetrius we're about to read, who's probably carrying this letter, by the way.
Right. Okay. So who's the good example? Verse 12.
The good example is Demetrius, but he says, but he who does evil has not seen God. This doesn't mean that Diotrephes is an unregenerate man, that he's unsaved. What it means is that he has lost his focus on God.
Hmm.
He is focusing on things that bring him power and preeminence, and he's taken his eyes off of God. We're not told if he's a believer or not. The implication seems to be he is. He's within the church. He's not calling him an unbeliever, but he's certainly not keeping his focus on Christ.
Here's the good example, verse 12. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. So imitate him if you want a good example. We all need examples in the Christian life
of right.
how to behave, how to act. So we need to look towards mature Christians to model what a Christ-like character looks like. And apparently Demetrius is that example.
And the witness of him is both from the apostles and from the truth itself, which is amazing.
Right. Verse 13, I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. All right, so what's the takeaway here?
Well, the takeaway is do support the good guys. As we have opportunity, we should be supporting those who are teaching the truth. That's one reason we need to be in a local church that's accurately proclaiming the Word of God. We wouldn't want to go to a cult and give them money, right? I mean, we wouldn't want to make that our church and say, I'm giving money to some work salvation cult. We are called to support the truth. Our local church, traveling teachers, missionaries, parent church groups. The primacy starts with our local church. We need to make sure we're supporting that. If we have money we're able to give above and beyond that, then we can support parachurch works and other things, missionaries. But always we need to have some money put aside for hospitality.
And when you do that, God sees you as participating in that work. The rewards earned by that missionary, by that teacher, are going to accrue to your account too.
Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Bob and Sean, for walking us through this incredible subject of why we should support good Bible teachers. Well, one way that you can do exactly that, but also grow in the process, is to get connected with us on our website. Our website is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. This is an incredibly important resource, and what's more, much of what's on the website is completely free. Did your ears perk up right then when I said free? Well, they should have, because we've got lots free. Let me give you some examples. Right now, we have a featured resource that's been a great companion for the series that we're concluding, and it's called The Epistles of John. This is a great time to go grab your own free copy of that book. You can get it as a download. All you have to do is go to the website, go to resources and free ebooks, and you'll be able to download it right away. In addition to that, we've got a free print magazine. It's full color, beautifully laid out. It'll show up in your mailbox. All you have to do is subscribe. As well, we have teaching videos, podcasts of this show, we've got blog posts, we've got all kinds of things that can help you grow. You might even feel led to become a financial partner with us in the ministry that we're doing. If you'd like that, you can do that on the website as well. Completely tax deductible and secure giving. Maybe you want to reach out to us, give us some feedback, ask a question, or tell us a joke. We love jokes. Send us a note at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to start a brand new series called The Power of Repentance. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are as well. Well, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.